So we're going to look at the subject of holiness this morning and the concept of it and what it means to be holy. God is holy. He's consecrated. He is, that is, in a sense, he is set apart from any other as the creator. He is pure. Everything that God does, he is the source of goodness, and what he does is good and right. And when we think about God's holiness, we think about his completeness, we think about his perfection, we think about him being transcendent and greater than us. And so we have the idea and the understanding of holiness and something that is that we are able to partake in. It's often called in theology a communicable trait of God, meaning we're able to share in it. We can't perfectly take on the attributes of God, but he has made us in his likeness so that we can share in some of the wonderful things that are about him. And I thank God for that. It's a wonderful thing to be able to have a part in that. So we're going to take a look at that this morning. As we're thinking about this, I think holiness is often intimidating to people when they think about it, because they're thinking, what is this that I need to be holy? What is it that makes God holy, makes his word holy? And it comes down to us changing. Many, if not most people today, they think that they have some feeling, some thinking, some behavior that they cannot change. You hear people today say, I was born this way, and that's why I act out in this way. It is behavior. Oftentimes a sinful behavior. They'll attribute it to that and say, I cannot change. But the Bible tells us this, we can change. If that struggle with sin is coveting or desire or lust, and a lot of people today will say, well, I just can't change. Well, I want to encourage you, you can, and the Bible teaches you how. You might be in a place in your life where I have anxiety and I can't help it and I struggle with it and I cannot change. Well, the Bible says you can. Jesus says, do not be anxious, and he provides us instructions and way to address that. Some of us, even Christians in the church, will say, you know, this person over here has done me wrong and I just can't forgive them and I'm resentful of them, and might even say, I hate them. But you know, the Bible can address that, and the Bible can change your heart. Even Christ on the cross can forgive. As he's hearing mockery and people reviling him and saying the hateful things toward him, he was able to forgive. And brethren, it's because of that example we're able to do that. We're able to change the way that we feel, think, and behave. And when I say we, I mean mostly by the power of God acting in our life. And another thing that goes along with this is degradation of oneself. I've mentioned three things so far, but in our bulletin article this morning, there are many people who depress and they put themselves down and they talk about themselves like, oh, I can never live a right life. I'm just scum, and they put themselves down as very low. But that's not what God teaches about you. He says, I made you in my image. You are my child. And God loves us. The Bible says, even while we were sinners, he loves us. And there is no reason for us to degrade ourselves or put ourselves down. And I think many of the things that people face as far as mental health break down to those things. And when we open the Bible addresses them. If only we had opened our hearts and our minds to God, it makes a huge difference in us. Yes, we're going to struggle. Everybody in here, probably something I've mentioned already, struggles in one area or another. But I know that God continues to sanctify us, to make us holy and draw us closer to him. God has, and I'll put it this way, God's changed me and he's still changing me. He's changed me and he's still changing me. I know that I've repented from great sins in my life, and I know that there are still temptations and things to come, but God is still changing me. And we cannot lose that hope. And so when we're faced with this, when the Bible tells us to live holy lives, it is God doing the work through us to make us holy. In 1 Thessalonians, all chapters, there's five chapters of 1 Thessalonians, every single one of them mentions the coming of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is coming again. And I was thinking about that as Garland was speaking this morning on the Lord's table. He was giving us details about that. Christ is going to come again. There's going to be a resurrection of the dead, and that's here in 1 Thessalonians. I'm not going to get into details of that. I think I might save that for next week. I'm going to put a little bit of that with 2 Thessalonians. You'll see why when we get there. But 1 Thessalonians, as we're reading it this week, we have this message, and I think the best summary is right here. Read it with me. It's on the screen. If you have your Bible, you can look at it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 11 through 13. He says, this is Paul's benediction, his blessing on this church. It's a new church, a new congregation. He says this, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. He says, I want to come back to you. And he had to leave because they were being persecuted. And so he left Thessalonica and went to Berea, came down to Athens. He's over in Corinth when he's writing this letter back. He says, we want to come to you. He says that the Lord may increase you and abound so that you may abound in love for one another and for all. You want to make sure you're doing that. Love one another and love everybody. He says, as we do for you. We set the example in our love. He says, listen to this. This is the point here that I'm getting toward. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father. You want our hearts to be holy. We want them to be pure. We don't want to be putting trash and things into our lives that can affect us and cause us to sin. And then we also see that when we stand before God, we think about all of our past sins. Well, God is the one who makes us holy. And so he says, before you stand before God, we want to make sure that your hearts are established blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all of his saints. So Christ is coming back with his saints, with his holy ones, with his angels and those who have died and fallen asleep. That's what Paul says later on in 1 Thessalonians 4. So here, what we've read right there, Paul gives this blessing on the church. He says, this is what I want you to do. You're a new church. I want you to love one another. And I want you to be blameless in holiness. And I want to give you the confidence to know that you can live a holy and pure life. That I, through my word, I'm going to do that. And it's stressed throughout 1st, 2nd Thessalonians that it's through the word of God. As we study it and we take it in, that it changes us. That Jesus Christ changes us. And he says, I want you to be holy because Christ is coming back. How are you going to stand before a holy God with the sins in your life, the things that you have committed? And the Bible promises that Jesus made atonement. He's appeased, he's washed away our sins by his blood. He has made us holy. And so it's not all on us because we are saved by his grace. And I want us to think more about that. Are Christians being strengthened today in their heart? And this is what Paul says. I want to encourage you. The literal Greek word means I want to strengthen you to live a holy life, to have pure lives. That's the offering. And I think many Christians today say, I just can't do that. Even believers or people will say, I can't go to church because I would be a hypocrite. And then some people say, I don't go to church because they think that it's filled with hypocrites. And I would encourage you, don't go to church for the hypocrites. Go for Christ. That's why we're here, for him to affect us in his teachings and words. So these things should encourage us. Well, Paul's writing this church. He's saying you can be pure, you can be holy, and it's so important. And this is why. Can you be saved without being holy? No. And it's imputed and counted to us by God's grace. We'll look at that in a second. But look right here, Hebrews 12 and verse 14. The writer of Hebrews says, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. You can't see God if you live an unholy life, if you live in an impure life, if you live in covetousness and you live in lust and you live a life of resentment, or if you're living in sin, it's not going to happen. But the Bible gives you hope in this, and that's why Paul is writing. We're going to look at that as we keep reading. Look at the next point here. Holiness is essential to salvation. Paul says this in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, and he tells us how. So one of the words that was mentioned this morning, Blake even asked me about it in his reading. He said, what is this word? It's the word sanctify. The word sanctify in your Bible, or the word sanctification, means to be made into a saint, to be made holy, to be made godly, to be made like God. And he says this, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, but we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved. How did he choose us? Well, he calls us by the gospel. That's the next verse. And he says, you're the first fruits to be saved through sanctification. And this means God is making you holy. And he makes you holy, and he says, how does he do it? What's it say? What's the scripture say? He makes you holy by the Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. And what? Belief in the truth. Belief in God's word. This is what Jesus said. Remember Jesus' prayer the night before he died? That night when he was betrayed? Jesus prayed to the Father. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. It's God's word that makes us holy. That's why it's so important for us to be studying together. We want to get into the word until the word gets into us. Because Christ can change us and save us. And I believe that because I read that here in the Scriptures and I hear it from the words of Jesus. And there shouldn't be anybody in here who gets so hopeless and say, I can't do this. I can't overcome this sin. I can't overcome these problems in my life. And the Scriptures say, yes, you can become holy. And a lot of that is counted to us. Meaning, I can't balance it out. I can't say, well, I did all these sins, but I did so much more good, therefore God's got to save me. That's not how grace works. Grace works that the blood of Christ washes away your old sins. God makes you new. He continues to cleanse away your sins so that you can live a right life and do good works. You can go and read Ephesians 2 about that. Listen here. Can someone be completely holy? Well, we know God is completely holy. The God, the completeness of holiness that we have is promised to us, but it's only in Him. I can't live a perfect holy life, but Christ has. And He stands in my place on His death on the cross and His resurrection from the dead. And when I stand before God, it is He who stands in my place as holy. It's He who washes away my sins by His blood. So there's nothing against me on that day of judgment. Listen to what Paul says here. Again, 1 Thessalonians is what we're reading this week. Chapter 5, verse 23. Listen to the promise. Now may the God of peace, it's another blessing, another benediction. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. May He make you completely holy. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the way that we do that is just to live a faithful, obedient life. The Bible says as long as we walk in the light, the blood of Christ will continue to wash away our sins. As long as we stay in the flow of that constant cleansing, there's no sin that we commit that will not be washed away. As long as we're walking in the light, that we're not living in sin, we're following God. But again, 1 John, John says there are times when we sin, and as long as we continue to follow Him, that sins will be washed away. Listen to here. Here's holiness counted to us. Colossians chapter 1, 21 to 23. It says, and you who were once alienated, you were separated from God, you were hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. He is now reconciled in His body of His flesh. He's brought you back together with God. Jesus has because of His death. So He's reconciled in His body of flesh by His death. In order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. That's the blessing and gift from God. We need to thank God for sending Jesus to make us holy, to make us pure, to cleanse us. Now, I left you hanging there on that verse on purpose. It says, if you'll be holy and blameless before God, if you do what? If you continually, faithfully obey Christ and God, if you continue to seek Him out. Go read the rest of the text there. So how many believing men and women today, how many struggle with sexual purity? Because in 1 Thessalonians, Paul is writing and he says, I want you to be holy. This is God's will to sanctify you and make you holy. And his main instruction to them is do not be engaged in sexual immorality, to live a sexually pure life. Evidently, that was a threat to many of these churches back then. And a lot of people who are coming out of paganism, you've got the temptations of cultic prostitution in the temples. And he says, I want you to live a holy life. And this is what it takes. So if you have your Bible, let's look here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And this will be our exposition this morning. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 8. Now after this, Paul talks about Christ coming back. Because all of this is so that you'll be ready when Jesus comes back. If you live a holy life, you'll be ready. If you allow Christ and His Word to make you holy, you'll be ready. And it should be no intimidation or fear on our behalf. It should be a day of rejoicing. Let's read, verse 1. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, and that you do so more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, your holiness, that you abstain from sexual immorality. The Greek word is porneia, meaning fornication. That you abstain from it. That each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. Listen again, verse 7. For God has not called you for impurity, that's sexual impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. There's a lot to draw from that passage. And I could preach this lesson three times and not be able to draw every point from that section of Scripture. This is what we want to see here. God's plan for Christians is to live a holy life and not to engage in extramarital sex. It's wrong and it's impure. God wants Christians to know how to control their own bodies in holiness, but many people today say, I don't know how to do that. Even Christians say, I just can't control myself. And it sounds a lot like what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. He says, the thing I don't want to do, that's what I do, and the thing that I do want to do, that's what I don't do. But Paul gives you the answer there in the text. There is a way for us to control ourselves. He talks about the patterns of desire. And I want to add a point here. I'm going to come back to it in a moment. The word for desire right there, this passion, it's a passage, and it's a word that's translated from the Old Testament as well. And it means coveting. It's the Greek word epithumia. It's a great desire within you for something else. And coveting is one of those great sins that we often tend to ignore. We don't think about it, what we covet. And a simple way to address coveting is this. When you want something that God does not want you to want, you're coveting. When you lust for something God does not want you to lust for, you're coveting. If you desire something that God does not want you to desire, you're coveting. It's the 10th commandment, you shall not covet. And Paul emphasizes it again back in Romans chapter 7. We'll come back to that in a minute. God will avenge the person who wrongs his brother sexually. What does this mean? It might be adultery. It can be a list of things. And he says, make sure you don't do that. God has called Christians not for sexual impurity, but for holiness. In contrast to impurity and sexual sin is holiness. We want to live a holy life. Rejecting holiness is to reject God and is to reject his Holy Spirit. Throughout the Scriptures, we have a reminder that the Holy Spirit dwells within you, so live a holy life. Because why? Why is it that someone can have the Holy Spirit and yet live in sin, sexual sin? We read about that in 1 Corinthians 6. But we sin against the Holy Spirit, and we sin against God, and we sin against the Holy Spirit when we live an unholy life, and it's the Holy Spirit who will resurrect us on the last day. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. And that's how we sin against the Holy Spirit, rejecting Him. As we are starting to wrap up this morning, Paul encouraged the church. He strengthened the church with the truth. He says God is faithful. He gives a promise to them. He prays for them. He says God's going to make you holy. He's going to sanctify you. You just remain faithful. You might have something in your life you're struggling with, some sin, some struggle, something you're coveting. You keep following God, and He'll continue to make you holy. You'd never give up. As far as self-control and controlling the body, I want to give 5 points that should be helpful for us before we conclude the message today. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, He says to men specifically, do not look at a woman to lust for her. The word for lust is the word I mentioned before, epithumia. Do not look at her to covet her, to desire her. And not only, he's not just saying don't covet, he's saying don't look to covet. And I know this is a two-way street here, because, you know, there are people who will talk lewdly and try to tempt you. There are people who will dress lewdly and try to tempt you. But at the same time, it comes back on us that we can't always escape that, and we've got to train ourselves not to look to covet, not to look in lust, not to look to in any way like that. Jesus tells us we can. He commands it right there in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. And I think if we would think about it in that way, because a lot of people think, oh, don't look to lust. Well, I can't help lusting. Now, don't look to covet. Don't look to desire. You can help that. Number two, and tied into that, set your mind on the Holy Spirit. Fill yourself with God's Word. If you think in biblical ways, if you think about God all the time, and you fill your life with Scripture, those things that are tempting you will become less and less, and it'll eventually leave. You will repent, and God will change you. Number three, God, it says here in 1 Thessalonians 10, He always provides a way of escape. You just got to endure the temptation. Yeah, sometimes it's going to be hard, but you can endure it. And enduring temptations, we can do that by knowing the good that it produces. If I endure this, God's going to help me. He's with me. And I want to live in good conscience toward my Creator. Think about the wonderful things that come from it. We'll receive a crown of life for those who endure temptation. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And number five, avoid temptations. Don't make places in your life. Don't be around people. Don't watch things. Don't bring things into your life that are going to cause you to be tempted. Strengthen your mind and avoid those as much as you can. And I love this. This is actually a quote, a passage from Romans chapter 7 at the end. When Paul talks about his struggle with sin, with covetousness, with the sin in his life, and how he was set free from it, he says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And he goes on and says, "I'm going to set my mind on the Spirit, and I'm not going to live in the flesh. And I set my mind on the Spirit, and so I'm free from those sins." And I encourage you this morning to do that. Whatever your strength, your struggles are in life, the temptations you face, God wants to strengthen you. He wants to strengthen your heart so that you'll be blameless in holiness on the last day. I encourage you with these last two verses right here. This is God's will. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you be holy, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That's what Paul wrote to this church. He says, I want you to be ready when Christ comes back, that you be holy. Down in verse 7, he says it again, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness, to live a holy life. And I hope that again, as Christians, we take the warning, the words of Paul that he said to this young church and our own life, and say, you know what, I'm going to recommit myself again. I know that Christ will change me. I'm going to give the invitation this morning. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, if you don't know what it's like for Jesus to have changed your life, I encourage you, He will. There's no one else that can really change you. Nobody can change you and make you holy like He can. Christ has changed us, and He's still changing us. Every mature Christian in here will say that. I've committed sins, and I've been forgiven of them, and I've changed. And Christ is still helping me to stay away from them, to live in a life of repentance. And I have no hope in anybody else but in Him, who now God counts me holy in the blood of Jesus. It's the only way to be saved, the only way to live a holy life, the only way to be able to stand before God on the last day. And it's in Jesus. Whatever your struggles are this morning, we want to pray with you and encourage you. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, you have not have all your sins washed away yet. Paul recounts his salvation. Ananias said to him in Acts 22 and verse 16, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." If you want to study more and learn more about baptism, we'll be happy to study with you. If you need prayers, we want you to come right now while we stand and while we sing. Please come.